we've got enough for three groups now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I imagine if if they haven't turned me loose yet, I might get a chance to stay out of being an officer for 2 years. See. But I'm afraid, though, the only persons that won't get no relief if the Kazuki feels it is the head people.
Mm-hmm.
Governor, two governors, two war chiefs, two fiscales, and two ditch riders. See. Yeah. I might be on again next year, can't tell. Unless if he looks at it differently, see. Yeah.
It's kind of an imposition, actually. It sure cuts into your time.
Yeah.
What exactly does the war chief and the outside chief are the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Why was the war chief originally called the war chief? How did this translation come about?
We got no name for it in English, see?
Yeah.
And the white man, he's the one, because he looks after the safety of the people too, see, in the old days, see?
Mm-hmm.
So, naturally, that's why the white man called him a war chief, see? Yeah.
Was he actually ever in charge of getting the braves together to defend the Pueblo?
Oh, yeah, uh-huh, you sure? Uh-huh. That's his job. Yeah.
Okay, this is a defensive effort, but
that's right.
The term, of course, it may be completely white man, indicates offensiveness. Did he ever go out, say, and raid other peoples?
I don't think so. I don't think Pueblo ever thought about those things. Of course, they got irrigation, they got their field to work, see, even before the coming of livestock, see.
Mm-hmm.
They're too busy farming and then too busy to go out trading, see.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think they need to go and... I think I understood it this way by the stories. They weren't savage, you know what savage is. Just pure savage in this. No.
Well, I know what I think savage means. What do you think it means?
Well, I just to be mean, you know.
Yeah.
Outright mean.
Yeah.
I don't think they're all Indians aren't that way. I don't think they are that way.
No.
The only, maybe there are a few from each tribe, you know. And then they, well, let's go, come on, let's go down the other village, see what they got. They might have a lot of corn, they might have a lot of pumpkins, or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they're surprised, of course, they'll naturally they get into a fight then, see.
Mm-hmm.
Or just because they're a little larger group than the, say, the Comanches, like maybe only two or three teepees are there, see. They might raid it there, see, for what they have, see.
Yeah.
So, I don't think that the Pueblos ever did that. Because I have never heard anything. Yeah.
Well, what about some of these stories, these migration movements, where they're moving into unfriendly lands, lands with other people?
I don't know. It seems like there isn't too much saying that's my land, see?
Yeah.
After all, it's just a group of people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, suppose even San Domingo is a big bunch. We call it 1,000 population. If they decided to move, I don't think Navajos would feel it. See?
Mm-hmm.
Because they themselves are not in a group, see.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't want to get into trouble, I probably they'll move out themselves. See. Of course, these the Pueblos are traveling groups. See. While the Negros are just scattered, and so are the other kind of people. See,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You told me a story once, and I assume, knowing population pressures and human behavior, that this would have happened more than once. About the time that the Santa Anas were living across the creek from the Zias, and the Zias formed a raiding party to come and get the Santa Anas, but the Santa Anas learned from the coyote that they had to go.
They didn't, they were, you see, in order to not get the blame, they weren't the ones to do the raiding. They got some,
right.
The Navajos to do it, see?
Yeah.
We'll pay you so much, see?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Sneaky.
It was just in jealousy on the part of the Zias that started the whole thing.
I see.
But they never got around to it. Yeah. Somebody got wise to it. They left before it happened, see?
So the Zias would have never personally raided the Santa Ana.
No, I don't think so.
Uh-huh. That's the real good point.
Yeah.
Another good point there in terms of the land question is that we know the Santa Anas were living next to the Zias within a given amount of time because the Navajos haven't lived in this area since maybe 500 years. So we know 500 years ago this story had to happen within that time that the Santa Anas were living way up there.
Yeah.
That recently.
Yeah.
Which is very interesting.
I've heard some say just pure talking about it, you know. It says, but got a good thing those Zias got jealous enough to scare our people, they call it, they could put it that way, you know. Now if we had stayed there, my God, it would be, I don't know, we'd be too doggone poor that we would be just none but skinny bones. But good thing they moved out of there.
That land up at Zia isn't as good as...
It's not good as down on the Rio Grande, there's a lot of water there.
Yeah. I've often heard that everybody thought that Zia had the poorest land.
Yeah, I think they have.
Yeah. Because they really don't have much places to farm.
No. Mm-mm.
I don't see how they manage to make livings there.
Yeah. Well, in the old days, the old people were not the same way at home. Since the livestock was introduced, see, and they got interested in raising them.
Mm-hmm.
And then after they began to increase their herd, why, if there were two, three boys in the family, one would go out with the herd, see, way out on the top of the mesa or way down the west towards the Rio Park Black Mesa there, while the other two come down on the Rio Grande and plant there.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're out there, all they come is for food, you know, and they go back. While they're out there, they think, well, I might as well be doing something rather than just staying around, sitting around, laying around. And they do dry farming that way, see.
Mm-hmm.
They learned to, if there was a nice piece of loamy soil around, with an arroyo running, a small arroyo running through it, what they do, dam the arroyo there, see, and catch all the dirty water that on the rainy season come down, and they improve it, spread it out, make it wider and wider. Pretty soon it's a good sized land that they farm, see.
Mm-hmm.
They raise a lot of corn up in those areas, because They said that it's a lot better than down on the, even down on the river bottoms, because of alkali, see.
Mm-hmm.
And no alkali up there, we see. A lot of places, there's no alkali. See. Yeah. That Ambrosius' brother, the older one, Andres, yeah, when we first started out on the land claim, that's what he said. Many times I go, I make a trip to Aco, Laguna. I go through here, by another Mesopotamia. Before the Spanish came in, I mean, well after they were here, but then at that time, see, they know that it belongs to the Indians, the land. So nobody but the Indians are around.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time when the corns are have gotten their ears and roasting ears, corns grow that long, it says, while on the Rio Grande they are shorter. Yeah, and I believe it because those old people in there, they know what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
He says that kind of soil is really good for corn. Yeah. Watermelon, pumpkins, they grow them up there in those dry farms like that. Even right across the village, those that can't come down to the Rio Grande, they look for lonely places where they arroyos have come in to make good ground, see?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? The last two I saw was one, right when you come down that long hill, you know that arroyo that comes down?
Yeah.
Way back around the curve there. Oh, there's a space in there, no bigger than the room, I guess. Maybe a little longer. Nice ground there. And that old man, Nasari, he used to herd his cattle in that direction, see. And he used to plant the watermelons up in there, pumpkins and beans and corn here and there for his own use of roasting years, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Boy, he used to be very proud of that place. Yeah.
That's almost the same deal, or the same ideas that the Hopis do. They're saying.
Yeah.
It's essentially the same thing.
Yeah.
What does the war chief do as far as allotting who uses what water, or is it already? How do you go about assigning water is what I want to know. And is the war chief in charge?
I don't think there's no special rule about assigning water, unless it gets so low, see?
Mm-hmm.
In the old days, of course, it would be the ditch rider, see.
Mm-hmm.
It would be the ditch rider that would do, that's his job, see. And the way they work it is, I know I was a lieutenant ditch rider one time. It happened to the Rio Grande got awful low. Oh boy, we used to do a lot of brush work up at the heading. Our heading used to be right across from San Felipe.
Mm-hmm.
Right there, right in front there. That's where he touched the tip in the south side of the village. Mm. And if it's that way, then we start from the north end. Three days a week from the north end of the El Ranchita, the farm, see,
mm-hmm.
irrigate down to the upper Ranchita, you know.